Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 64 of Utopia to Me, with me, your host, Chris Locke. Hey, all right, welcome back. Episode 64, man, that's amazing. We're cruising along. We're back. I took a few months off, like I said before, to get used to having a baby, and now we've just been cruising, having such fun episodes, and we're in the groove again. And I also want to give a shout-out to iTunes Canada for making us the editor's pick. We're up there with some really good other podcasts that you guys should check out, like Canada Land and CBC's The Queue and stuff like that. So that's a real honor for me because this is just a little ding-dong fun that I like to have with some interesting people. But people are liking it, so thank you so much. Episode 64. And this one is great. It's really cool because I got to hang out with a guy that I'm a huge fan of. The guest today is Chip Zdarsky. All right, Chip Zdarsky, comic book illustrator, writer, creator of such funny, wonderful, and awesome comics and stuff like that. But also, man, listen to the episode. He's done so much more with his life than I ever will. It's really insane. And we had a lot of fun. So where are you? What are you doing? What did you just go to the store to buy grapes? Were you wearing shorts and you were like, ooh, it's kind of chilly. I should have worn pants. I don't know. I can't hear you. You can only hear me. So I have to guess. That's the thing. I'm always guessing at what you guys are doing. I want to know. But thanks for listening. No matter where you are, shorts, pants, skirt, dress, shirt, tank top, long sleeve shirt, whatever you're wearing, I want you to look down at your clothes right now. Just look at your clothes and be like, oh, thanks for protecting my flesh. All right. I'm just going to dive right in because, like I said, we had a blast. I'm really glad he came over and we got to chat about all the stuff. I kind of got a little fanboy on him, but there you go. It's Chip Zdarsky, episode 64. We're going to dive right in. Thank you. Enjoy.
I don't know. How's your tea?
Oh, it's great. You could have provided milk.
That's the thing. I want to say right off the bat, the guest today is Chip Zdarsky.
Mm-hmm.
And I offered him one thing, tea, and I didn't do it in a good way. You want black tea with milk and sugar? I had no milk and just brown sugar. Like, who am I? Some sort of oatmeal-eating bear? Like,
it's totally fine, because usually it would just be coffee, and I don't drink coffee. And that throws people for a loop. So they're like, you don't drink coffee.
Oh, really?
Like, what do we do now? Like, we just give up.
That's great. I'm not a coffee guy either. I just go tea, mostly green tea, even. And so then I have to sound like that guy when I go places. They're like, do you want a coffee or something? I'm like, do you have green tea? Also, can you suspend me from the ceiling over daffodils? That's how I get my energy. Like, it just sounds so...
Can you not do caffeine? Like proper...
Even green tea makes me a little nuts.
A little edgy?
There's this type of green tea called matcha green tea. It's the green powder. You know that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes when I do that, people are like, are you on cocaine? So, yeah, I think I'm really susceptible to that stuff.
But does that help you? Because, like almost everybody I know that's a writer or a comedian, they're just like, oh, I need that. I need that to get the jokes. I need it to get going. Like,
yeah, well, sometimes, you know, my body is such a wimp, man. It's so affected by everything. I hate it because that's actually, like, okay, so my mom scared me when I was a kid because high blood pressure runs in our family.
Okay, yeah.
So ever since I was a kid, she was like, have fun because you're going to have a heart attack. And I was like, shit.
That's kind of a nice thing.
It's very nice.
Because it's like, you know, live now, live for today, because tomorrow you're going to have a lot of problems.
Yeah, she's like,
sweet.
Yeah, I was like eight, and she's like, this could be your last day. Don't eat chips. No, but it's like, that's why I never got to fully party with cocaine, and I also can't be a cool coffee guy.
Yeah.
Because I'm always like, if my heart goes fast, I'll die. But it might not even be the case. My mom might have just scared me, but it's still in my head.
Have you ever actually tried cocaine? Maybe you can't say it on the podcast. You can wink at me if you have. Just give me a wink.
I'll tell you this. One time, I skipped school a lot. Okay, I skipped school a lot
in
high school. I've never been back. No, I'm not going back, man. No, I graduated, but I skipped school a lot to smoke weed. I was that guy in high school. And then one time I was with these bad kids in the forest across the street.
God damn.
And after I smoked the joint, they're like, did you like that? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, cocaine was in it. And that's how I did it. And then I had to walk back to class, like the bell rang, and I felt like an astronaut in a heavy spacesuit, and I was just like going nuts.
I don't even know what that mix does. Like for years,
maybe it was crack. I don't know.
For years, I always wanted to try it because I like the idea of anything that gives me energy. And my friends, my girlfriend would always be like, "No." Like my friends, the reasoning was it's too obvious a joke with your nose. Like you've got a big nose, and to do cocaine is just like that's a low hanging fruit. So I didn't do it until I was at a party. And the friend's boyfriend was an actual cocaine dealer. So there was like a mound, like in a movie.
Was he cool or was he scary?
He was a cool guy. Okay, he was like just like this guy who kind of made money on the side doing this. Like, oh yeah, it's just fun.
They're mostly just scary on TV, right?
I mean, I'm only basing it on one person, so it's a very select.
You start the podcast by being like, cocaine dealers are so nice.
So lovely. So lovely. No, so there's this mound there, and like, I was at the party without my girlfriend, and I know she kind of has a thing about, like, I'm going to die if I try it once because I want to do it so bad. And so the only thing I did was I, like, kind of put my finger in it, and I rubbed it on my gums like they do, like cops do.
Yeah.
Just to see why they do that, and my gums went a little tingly. I'm like, yeah, it's pure. And that was it. That was it. That was my cocaine experience.
Really?
Yeah.
And they were like, this guy's a narc.
Oh, yeah. Well, why was I doing that at a party?
The most chill narc.
Yeah, no, this is good. This is good stuff. This is good stuff.
It's almost like the same as like in that Woody Allen movie when he sneezes and just ruins it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. because I know
that's
you...
enough about me and my hard partying lifestyle.
It's pure. Yeah. All right, I'm going to call a cab. I think... yes, you joke about it in the latest Sex Criminals volume.
Okay.
In you don't remember? Like, because you and Matt... go away from the actual story and talk to each other. And I was like, he's joking about it so much in this character that it's not real. And I'm sure Matt write that whole transaction?
Or? Yeah, the original transaction he wrote had me say a lot of things that would probably get me fired from my other jobs.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to tweak my dialogue a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't give a shit. Like, he's no longer at Marvel, so he can just say whatever he wants. I'm like, well, I can't.
Yeah.
Like, that's my actual job, so please
don't
do that.
That's actually a good... we should talk about some of the stuff you're working on right now before we dive into your utopian world. Because, the Marvel stuff, I've read the two Howard the Duck collections so far. I really love them. Super funny. Because I'm more of, like, the weirders. Stuff I don't go superhero as much, but I really like Howard the Duck and the use of the Marvel Universe in that.
Yeah, thanks. It's like I'm kind of the same way. Like I prefer the weirder stuff, but I also have the childhood affinity for all the Marvel characters.
Yeah.
So when I got the job to do Howard the Duck, I was like, well, issue one, I'm going to put Spider-Man in or She-Hulk, like just so I can write their dialogue.
And I love like Spider-Man's like so insecure,
so sad.
I could actually relate to Spider-Man and Howard the Duck.
Yeah, you can only get away with it in a book like that. Like, a lot of people would say to me, like, oh, you should write, like, the Spider-Man title. Like, you know, if that ever becomes available, that should be your thing. And I'm like, no, they'd kill me. Like, the fans would kill me.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way I can make him, like, a sad sack.
But did you see him in the new Civil War movie?
Yeah.
He's
great. Super charming.
Yeah. But he's still got that. Well, he's not insecure or anything, but he's got that, like... Oh, really? Gee whiz. Like, that's amazing.
The problem with comic books, they're kind of like soap operas, except the actors don't age. So the problem is, like, you have a character that's been around for, like, 50, 60 years, and there have been people who've read that character for, like, almost all that run, and so they want the character to change. They don't want him to stay the same. They don't want him to be a kid.
Yeah.
They want him to learn from his mistakes. So there's a lot of, like, comic fans that now are just like, no, Spider-Man should be the best at what he does and have no insecurities because he solved all those. Like, that is done.
Right.
But, like, that's a terrible way to have a comic book, so...
Yeah, well, like, the Simpsons never grow.
No, but there's not a lot of, like, drama there.
Right.
Like, no one's let their uncle die, you know?
Yeah, yeah, so, that's true.
Yeah, like, in soap operas, like, characters will get old and die.
Well, to be honest, I don't like it when Batman is old. You know, because DC does that sometimes, right?
Makes you feel like it's your dad or something.
Yeah. Or like, this guy's bones couldn't handle this. But I guess he says that in the comic. He's like, ouch, this time.
Ouch, this time.
This time, ouch.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, he's had like 5-6 Robins. Like, at what point does that become really weird?
Yeah. Yeah, it's super weird.
He's like a 40-year-old dude that's like just churning through teenagers. And so that's always
I lost another one, Alfred. How'd you lose him, sir? He got ground up. Like, it just gets, their deaths get more weird and brutal too.
But it's just so casual because it's like, well, it's like the 9th Robin. Oh, yeah. What happened to this one? Ground up.
Ground up and turned into beef. And the Riddler ate him. And the Riddler asked me, do I like this?
So that's the problem with comics. Like, you kind of have to hit the reset button all the time. And so it's easy in the movie. They introduce like the Spider-Man Civil War and they can go, okay, now he's a teenager again. Yeah. He's starting off and he's brand new and he's fun. But like, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't really know a lot of the Howard Duck universe from the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where you sort of jumped in, but is it sort of a reboot, these ones?
Well, it's a lot easier with a character like Howard because the original run was like 32 issues, I think.
Yeah.
And it was done by the creator and it was weird and it just kind of took off and he got fired from his own creation because that's how it works in comic books.
Yeah, I read the history.
It's pretty weird. And so,
and I noticed online some hardcores give you grief for trying to take it on.
Oh yeah, and like I expected,
but that'll always happen, right?
I expected that going in, so it wasn't. Yeah. It was a lot less than I thought it was going to be. Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of positivity I read too. Like they love.
Thanks for that.
No, it's true. It's true. I shouldn't have just said that, but yeah, I could. No, because you're taking over something that was just personal to this one guy.
Yeah,
it must have been tough. But yeah, no, a lot of, I've read so much stuff too of people saying that they love your interpretation.
Yeah, it was a tricky thing because if he was still alive, then I wouldn't have done the job. Like, I'm like, well, I'll just go back to the guy who created it.
Yeah.
But I kind of thought like, well, if they don't give it to me, they're going to give it to someone else and they're going to do it in a way that I'm not going to like. So maybe I should do this.
Yeah.
Which made it kind of an easier choice. But yeah, with a character like that, it was like, there's not a lot of history after that. Like, he pops up once in a while, like a special or something, but you know, to catch up on it, it's like 40-50 issues and that's it. You know, all the history of Howard the Duck. So that made it a lot easier to kind of come into it.
And
make it feel like it doesn't have to be a reboot, but like we had to tweak it to kind of reflect the culture now. Because the original series was pretty kind of heavy-handed satire, which was
political.
Shocking at the time.
Yeah.
But now it probably wouldn't work as well that way. So I kind of figured the best way to handle it was to put Howard the Duck in the Marvel Universe. And the old one made fun of pop culture, but now pop culture is the Marvel Universe. Like, it's every TV show and movie are these characters. So just to have...
I've thought about that a lot. That gritty, smoky, cigar room-filled, like, Hunter S. Thompson political, stuff of the 70s is just... It's not relevant anymore, and it doesn't fit into this culture for some reason. Maybe because it's so... It's not such a black and white world anymore or something, or
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, the old Howard the Duck was like kind of big, obvious satire, and now satire is supposed to be a lot more subtle. So I'm kind of like taking subtle digs at the overpopulation of Marvel stuff and culture by having those characters pop up all the time.
Yeah.
And Howard's supposed to represent the everyman. Like, it's that weird reversal where he should be the freak because he's a talking duck.
Right.
But he doesn't have powers. He just kind of like goes about his life. He gets angry about things. Whereas Spider-Man is a grown man in a very tight outfit, like swinging between buildings. Like, that's the weird guy in that situation.
So, that's awesome. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, Howard's whole thing is kind of like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
So then, yeah, that, Sex Criminals... which I love, and you're the artist on that, but you're writing Captara too.
Yeah, another Image book.
Which I'm halfway through. I haven't read all of it, but I really like it.
Thanks.
People were like, it's like, you described it, did you describe it as gay He-Man?
Yeah.
But then I was like, where's the He-Man? But then now I'm like, oh, now I see. Once you really dive in, you start seeing like, He-Man style vehicles and like a guy with a sort of man-at-arms type helmet on and stuff.
Yeah, it kind of came about because the artist is so good at drawing that stuff. Like, we worked together at the National Post, Keegan McLeod.
Yeah.
And like his doodles would just be like these like beefy dudes with like beautiful Judith Light hair.
Yeah.
You know? And so it kind of made sense that we would tackle that.
It's really funny.
Thanks.
And I like that I feel for Keith.
Yeah.
So far. I don't know what happens to him, but I hope he makes it.
Yeah, you're halfway through, so I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, shit.
One way or the other.
Yeah, so anything else that we should talk about? Oh, you're... Yeah, anything else you want to talk about before we get going?
The only other things I'm doing Star-Lord. We're restarting that. That's the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy,
yeah.
The main dude. So
you're writing that?
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa, that's amazing.
It's fun.
He's a good character.
Yeah. The editor kind of described him to me as like Marvel Universe's Han Solo.
Totally.
Yeah. I don't think I can write a character that cool, so he's not quite that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've written a couple
of
issues.
Are they watching over you heavily because of the movies?
Yeah, with
like
that
you have
one,
to match that brand, right?
Yeah. Howard the Duck, you just do whatever you want. Like,
yeah.
There are almost no
even
notes.
Though the Guardians show up, they're sort of just preliminary.
Exactly. Like, they're on the fringe.
Periphery, but, I mean, yeah.
So with Star-Lord, like the first thing we wanted to do was redesign the costume. They're like, okay, we have to pass that by Marvel Film because... You know,
yeah, he's this dude now.
Yeah, they're going to be doing certain things with him in the next movie, and we want to make sure it kind of jives. So, but there were no notes on it, and I was actually surprised. Like there was nothing. Like I got the script back, and like, oh, okay, maybe have him say this in this scene, and all right, we're good. I'm like, really? Like, kind of doing like some shitty things to him. Are you sure that's okay? But okay, it's fine.
And they're like, it's a comic book, and then they push you out the door. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's every script, same thing.
I think that's really amazing.
Yeah, man, I got to.
Do a lot of people know that, or are you debuting that info?
We announced it
at StarsCon.
No, we announced it last month. Marvel is kind of like restarting a lot of their comics in the new year, or
sweet.
The new season, which is like September.
Is it funny? Is it going to be funny?
Yeah, it kind of has to be. There's
that's good. I don't know why someone would hire you to not be funny. You're very funny.
You know what's weird? Like, Marvel's pitched me a few things thinking like, hey, let's show people you can do more than funny. And I'm like, well, I don't know. This comic about a murderer doesn't seem, I guess.
The Punisher?
Yeah, it wasn't The Punisher, but they've given me a few that are like dark and gritty. I'm like, oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But
the Punisher in the Daredevil Netflix thing really made me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it?
I watched almost all of it.
Yeah.
It's like one of those ones where I'm like, I kind of get it.
Yeah, like
by the end.
The news is guys showing up places and spraying everyone with bullets.
Yeah.
And we're all like writing tweets like, I stand behind people, human beings. And then you watch Daredevil and the hero's doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? That's the only confusing thing. I guess I shouldn't make you talk about
No, it's fine. Because there's
Marvel, but
there's that weird disconnect because in a comic, it's like... they can always say, oh, he's only ever killed bad guys.
Yeah.
But when you actually see it on screen, it's like, well, like, that's just not possible. Like, people are going to get hurt. Like, I remember in the comics, like, somebody would say, like, the Incredible Hulk. Like, what is he? Is he, like, a good guy or a bad guy? Because if he's doing rampages, he's clearly murdered people.
Yeah.
Like, there's clearly a thing. And in comics, they came up with, like, this weird thing, like, oh, deep in the back of his head, he's got Bruce Banner's mind, so he knows not to harm people. So when he smashes a wall, he's hitting at a certain angle so people inside won't get hurt. I'm like, okay, you're a comic, you get away with it, but like in a movie, there's no way. That guy should be murdered.
Yeah.
The Hulk should be put down like the dog he is. Sorry, I know it's a controversial opinion, but we should take that human life.
I just pictured the army general, I forget his name, being like, what is this gross dog jumping so high?
So high.
I love the Hulk, though, for that reason. Like, I like him as a Frankenstein-y sort of destructor.
Yeah.
But, like, I know how it's like, yeah, you can't make him a hero then.
No. He's killed. He'll kill again.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind.
He's coming for us.
We need to stop him. Why aren't people talking about this?
Well, it is weird, yeah, because we're not in a society anymore of overt political satire, but we're also in a society now where the bad guys are humanized to the max as well. Like, I'm watching Narcos season 2 right now, and even though I know how it goes because of the news and the world history, I'm still like, ooh, I hope, you know, Pablo's okay. Like, what am I talking about? The guy blows up innocent people. But you're watching him, like, kiss his kids, be like, be safe.
What a great dad.
Pablo Escobar. Like, you will go to Disneyland someday. Like, what the fuck?
I guess, I don't know. The did you see Suicide Squad?
No, I really don't want to.
No, I didn't either. And then it's one of those things where you kind of trick yourself into it. Like, it's going to be so bad, it's good. And then it's not really. But yeah, they do that and that as well. It's like, you know.
Yeah, they're bad guys.
Yeah, and they're bad guys. But, you know, a couple of them, they have hearts of gold when you really... when you really think about those murderers.
Yeah, well, that's like the end of Sullivan's Travels. All those guys in prison are laughing at Mickey Mouse, but they're still in prison.
Yeah.
Like, stay in prison.
Yeah, I think every writer just has this idea that they're just going to be like, you know what, he's a bad guy, but what if there was something else to him, you know? But if every writer does that,
yeah,
like, the twist at the end should be like, oh, actually, I'm a really bad person. Ta-da!
Yeah.
Like,
what if the Joker got married, though?
Oh, I like where this is going.
Yeah, I don't want to ever... I mostly never want to see Will Smith or Jared Leto in movies anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, unfortunately, they were the big stars of this one. But I heard that Jared Leto got cut out a lot, too. Because...
yeah, and apparently he's not happy about it.
Yeah, apparently.
I guess so. If he went, he went to those extremes.
Was it... how is this Joker?
It's just... oh, man. It's like the kind of thing where... like, Heath Ledger did a really great job of, like, he maintained this, like, tone of character, even though he would, like, kind of go outside that a little bit here and there. Like, kind of, like, sad, happy, angry. Like, he was able to kind of, like, play with it.
Yeah.
Whereas Jared Leto's like, oh, I'm just going to be all over the place. I'm going to be a baby in this scene, and then I'm going to be a dog in this scene. I'm like, well, that's not even a character at that point. It's just a collection of
Maybe
ticks.
That's why he's mad. Like, you cut out the part where it shows why I chose to be a dog.
Yeah. It's just like he'll bark at a person and then he'll be like, would you boo? Like, I'm like, I don't like it. I mean, he made me really uncomfortable. So that's, I guess that's good.
So yeah, in a way it's like he's a crazy person.
But he's also just, frankly, very fuckable. So it's like a fuckable Joker on a level that we haven't seen before.
Do you see his butt?
No, you don't. You don't see his Joker butt.
How come we haven't seen the Joker's butt and they show boobs all the time?
Okay, question. So if the Joker's skin is because of, like, acid, yeah, like he jumped in an acid bath.
Does he have a green butt? Or whatever his color is.
Whatever his color is.
White butt.
Well, like, if you spread the cheeks a bit, would it, like, it be still...
like, did the acid get in there?
Yeah, did the acid get in there? Because you'd imagine if you were in, like, a pool of acid, you would clench...
yeah.
And there wouldn't be the opportunity for liquid to kind of make its way in there.
Well, the last time I was in a pool of acid, I was fully aware that I was clenching. I was like, I'm clenching, and it's hot. I wonder.
I recently I went to a trip to Israel.
Before you go to Israel, I just want to say I'm pretty sure the Joker's butthole is pure white.
Yeah.
Crystal
white. Okay. I'm gonna back you up with my Israel bit, because when I was in
Israel bit.
Well, it's not a bit.
Trips to exotic lands are just bits now.
I'm not the stand up here, but we went there and then we made a trip to the Dead Sea, and I was really worried about it because I'd had some kind of like a hemorrhoidal kind of issue happening in salt water. And I got in there, and I was like, well, I'll just clench. It'll be fine. But no, it's still, the water still got in there.
There you go.
And it was so much pain. Like, I'm floating in this.
Were you crying?
Yeah, a little bit.
Floating
little
and bit. Crying?
Yeah, so salt just coming out of everywhere, entering everywhere. And it hurt so much.
See, my doctor would not allow me to be around that situation. My high blood pressure.
He would just take your passport away from
yeah,
you.
Yeah, too much salt
no.
in this situation.
It's too much.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. So the Joker is falling to the vat of acid. He for sure could think, I'm going to clench this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter. Once you're in there,
no.
It gets in there.
It's just like the Dead Sea.
So he does not have a pure white butthole.
He must have.
When Mark Hamill does the voice of the Joker on those cartoons, how does he think his butthole looks? I really need to know now. I wish I went to Comic-Con.
Oh, man. I've never met any of those Star Wars guys at the Comic Cons.
Are you a mega Star Wars guy?
I'm a mega in the sense that I've watched them more than I've watched anything else in my life, but for some reason, I don't think that actually makes me a mega Star Wars fan. I feel like that's just the thing we've all done.
I think I know what you mean. I think I'm there, too. I love Star Wars to the max.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd wear a Star Wars shirt.
Yeah. Like, as a joke, years ago, I bought, like, a really nice Watto shirt. It was an all-over print Watto shirt from a comic show.
But that's...
But that's just pure love for one character.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not necessarily...
Watto is the one that... No, he's the...
He's the anti-Semitic drug dealer in episode one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so glad they made that character.
Yeah, so there's enough missteps that I don't think I could ever be, like, a huge Star Wars fan. Like, Marvel has the rights to do Star Wars comics now, so once in a while I'll think, well, maybe I should pitch a thing, but...
Oh, I was in The Beguiling yesterday.
Yeah.
And I did notice that half the new release rack now, or on one of the sides, is all... Everyone's got their comic. Lando, like, the Rogue series, everything.
Yeah. Like,
it's insane.
The Star Wars comic from Marvel was, like, their biggest seller last year, I think. Like, it came out and people were like, oh, yeah, we actually really like Star Wars. And they're like, what? And then there you go.
That's how what are you talking about?
Make money.
It's so crazy. Yeah, like, I know it's weird. George Lucas is mad about all this. But his product is finally reaching the potential that it should have like 20 years ago.
I like that it just didn't quite reach its potential.
No, I
if
mean...
If only people had known about Star Wars. He's doing all these interviews. Like, so I got this new thing.
It's, no, yeah, you're right. But like, no, I mean... But I guess what I'm saying is when I was a kid, I wanted more Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And he left us hanging.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but then you'd like watch the movies to the max.
Yeah.
And that's the specialness of it. And play with the toys to the max. Now, what am I talking about? There were toys everywhere.
Yeah. And so I think that was probably the smartest call. Like, the idea of doing, like, those three movies and then that's it.
Yeah.
Like, it meant you had to kind of keep revisiting those things and build.
You think all this new rebrand, all this stuff's going to ruin it? It's like,
yeah,
dilute
eventually.
It?
It'll have to.
Yeah.
They're going to put out, like, a movie a year. Like,
well, it's the guy who did Godzilla did Rogue One, right? Or... No, I might get mixed up. Gareth Edwards or
Gareth Edwards, yeah.
So they're already like printing articles like they have to go back and recut stuff because the studio's not happy. So that already makes you be like, oh.
Well, like the studio thought it wasn't Star Wars-y enough. I think with the news articles, like,
yeah,
make it more Star Wars-y.
Too many Godzillas are in this.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he's the guy. I got to look it up. I think he's the Godzilla guy. He's the guy that was like, wait, let me see.
I'll still watch
it. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm just using my phone for a sec, all right?
Yeah, that's okay.
Give me a break. Oh, yeah, he's the Godzilla guy. So, yeah. There you go. Anyways.
Like, I'll still watch them. That's the thing. It's like a sickness. Like,
yeah, me too.
There's no way I'm not going to see it, even if it got, like, terrible reviews.
Yeah, they got those AT-ATs on, like, a tropical beach. It's like, that's what they're going to do for the movies from now on. They're like, where has this robot not been?
Not walked on.
Yeah.
Well, my girlfriend, she's the smart one in our relationship. She was a huge Star Wars fan when she was younger. So when Phantom Menace was coming out, she was like, I'm all in. Like, midnight showing, let's do this. And she saw it, and she's like, that was bad. And that was it. She didn't watch the next one. She didn't revisit any of them.
Oh,
she's
wow.
Like, she was done. She went and saw this new one.
And what'd she feel?
She felt, she really liked it, and then she was, like, really, really upset when they killed Han Solo.
Oh, yeah.
Really upset. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, like, that hit her hard, because she was, like, it's such a gap for her. Like, she saw those when she was a kid.
Right.
She didn't see any of the new ones, so she's just built this up. We have, like, a little, like, a photo of Han Solo on our, like, mantle.
Yeah.
As if he's our uncle.
Oh.
Like, she is a postcard she had when she was a kid, just, like, this dopey-looking shot of Han Solo, and... That's been there for so long. It's like a family member dying for her.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is... I didn't think of that. Yeah, I get pulled out of it enough to be like, Harrison Ford wanted out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think of it as like... You know.
Like, every interview is like, yeah, I wanted them to kill me in the third one. Like, and he did. Like, he had all these talks with Lucas. Like,
yeah,
what's my character arc here?
He's such a grumpy guy.
He's like, I went from like... like a grumpy space pirate to like a grumpy space pirate that has friends. Like, that's not a character
yeah,
arc.
Kill me, please.
Yeah.
Kill me.
Yeah, yeah. And he kept asking them to kill him, and like,
but Chewie being sad got me.
yeah,
Chewy going rawr or whatever. I was like, oh yeah, fuck.
Do you ever see like Tumblr posts of like people drawing like fan art of Star Wars? There's one that went around and it was like one of these things where it's like, you know, really cute little drawings. It was like Han Solo with his baby. He's giving to Chewie, and Chewie's playing with the baby, and like, you know, holding his hand on his first day to school.
Oh,
or
right.
Whatever,
and the baby is Kylo Ren.
And the baby goes up to be Kylo Ren, and like, you know, just adding that little extra, like, oh yeah, of course, yeah. Chewie's like his like weird giant fuzzy uncle.
Oh my god, I'm gonna cry now.
Yeah, so he's like watching his best friend die, murdered by his like basically his little nephew.
Chewie, if you're listening, come over. Come on over.
It's all right.
Hang out with us. There's my cat, Wolfman. She's kind of like my little Chewbacca.
A little bit, yeah.
Hey, Chewie. It's not the same.
Yeah. There's no call and response there. That's the problem.
Okay. Yeah, we talked a lot without even getting to the premise of the podcast.
Yeah.
How you feeling? Comfy?
Yeah, I feel good.
Because I had a lot of
thoughts about Star Wars that I really needed to get out.
This digresses like crazy. I think I've got undiagnosed ADHD or something.
I think all podcasts are like this, though, aren't they? Like,
yeah, they're a mess.
You have a theme, but then you just kind of like...
I'm very grateful. I'll just take time out right now to say I'm very grateful people listen to this. Thank you so much.
Like nobody listening is waiting for me to say what my utopia is. Like, I don't think anyone's like... Okay, all right. They're looking at their like their
You're right.
watch, and they're like, "I just need to hear what Chip's Utopia is, and then I can get on with my day." That's not how this is going down.
That's so good that you pointed that out, because I actually worry about that all the time. I'm like, I try to put myself in the listener's head, and they're like, "Get to it."
It's doubly good.
But I don't know who this hypothetical listener is. Yeah. I picture them on Lulu, like an elliptical machine with Lululemon pants, and they're like, "My exercise is almost done. Yeah. What is it?"
I think it's doubly good that I pointed that out, because I have not even thought of my utopia.
It's okay.
So I'm really just like...
We find it on the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was fun hanging out and chatting, because you and I have never met in real life.
No, I know. It's weird.
I don't want to say this because it sounds weird, but we're fans of each other.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes.
I didn't want to say that you're a fan of mine. I'm a fan of yours. But I didn't want to like just assume because you've retweeted some of my tweets that you're a fan of mine.
No, it's one of those things like Toronto's a small community,
yeah,
and especially the comedy community. I'm not really a part of it. Like I've always wanted to be a part of it, but I don't have the chops to be like
stand up
or improv or anything like that.
I see.
And so I'm always
a very funny writer.
Well, thank you, but I'm always on the periphery. Like there's not. So I watch everyone in Toronto comedy. I'm just like, oh my god, that person's so funny, and you and Kathleen especially. I'm just like I've kind of like glommed onto you, and it was that thing where when we were messaging back and forth to be on the podcast, you were like, oh, do you need to meet for a coffee first before coming over? You know,
yeah,
get to know me. And I was like, oh no, you're like a brother to me. And then you didn't respond. I'm like, oh, I went too far. I really went too far.
I didn't respond. I must have responded, just not in a long time. No. Oh, no. I didn't respond at all.
You did not respond. And then, like, a week passed.
Oh,
like,
my God.
So, just send me the details.
What's
where
up,
I should
bro?
Go. Hey.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to get too close to
you. Oh, my God. No, that is one of the. See, I'm terrible with the internet. I'm always throwing jokes out on the internet, but message wise, sometimes it's one of those cases where I reply in my head, but not in real life. Do you ever get that?
Yes.
Where you're like, oh yeah, yeah. And like, it made me laugh too, you know, but then the person doesn't know that because they don't see you.
Just sitting there waiting.
And that's what I actually think the internet and texting has created all these unnecessary things now because of us like discovering that about ourselves. Like, a friend says something and you're like, you have to write back, ha ha, for closure.
Yeah.
Even though if you laughed out loud, they'll never know, and then they kill themselves.
You don't want that. You don't want that.
There's been times where I've sent a joke to a friend, no one's gotten back, and I kill myself.
Yeah.
And then an angel saves me, and then my friend was like, oh, I laughed out loud, whatever.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Well, it's the tricky thing, because if you write like ha ha in like caps, then it encourages them to send another joke.
Right.
And then you're just like, you're trapped in that. Like, what's the response that like lets them know, that was funny, we're done here.
Yeah.
We're done here. I'm not your goddamn
test
audience.
I actually felt bad about sending the single lowercase one ha. Because I'm like, they know I'm shutting the door.
Just shut it down.
Oh, shit.
Well, you must get that a lot. Like, years ago, when I moved to Toronto,
from where? I don't even know this. Oh, no, you're from...
I'm from Barrie, but yeah. I was at school in Oakville, and I came to Toronto, and one of my friends decided to become a stand-up comedian. And they were like, they were the first year when Humber was doing the comedy course.
Yeah.
They went through that, and the relationship changed really quickly between us because I realized I was his test audience.
Oh.
Like, and like for really kind of hacky stuff, too. Like, he'll just kind of come into a room like, oh,
do they still do comedy?
No. He's moved on from that, but... Okay. But there was like a few months, like we'd support him at shows and stuff, but like, you know, we were roommates, so we'd just kind of walk into the kitchen like, hey, what are you doing? You're reading a magazine there? Oh, magazines. Magazines, eh? Well, Oprah, she's got her own magazine. And then he just like, do a bit, and you're like, oh my God. So do you get that in like,
that's bad.
In text form or emails from other stand-ups?
Well, stand-ups talk in jokes.
Yeah.
Like, we are, like, that's, like, our thing. Like, yeah, it's like our glowing aura. You can't get, or like a shield almost. Like, you can't get past the jokes. And then when someone is serious, it makes them uncomfortable. So, like, yeah, it's mostly jokes. But it's not, like, not as much trying out bits. But here's the thing. I will sympathize or empathize with your friend for a sec because I definitely know that's super annoying. But I know in the beginning... It's like one of those things where you're like overcompensating. Yeah. You're trying to be funny so much.
Yeah.
And it's a new thing. So I get that they're going through that, but I definitely know that it's fucking annoying.
If the material was better, I'll say that. I probably would have been more supportive of that.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's good. You should just call him on it, though. Like, even in the kitchen, you're a hack, all right? Just
just constantly booing him.
Yeah, just heckle in the kitchen. Yeah, I think sometimes, even now... I've been doing it for a long time, but if I start ranting about something, even my ranty style is flavorful because that's how I just like to do it.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, yeah, that's going to be a bit.
After you finish it, you just, like, just kind of turn around and subtly just like write a thing down in a notebook.
Yeah. Like it's weirdly, unfortunately that is how it happens. Like sometimes like stand-up is the hardest thing to just go and sit in front of the computer or in front of the book and write.
Yeah.
You know, it has to come almost like, to me, it has to come from like a sort of passionate place or emotional reaction.
Yeah.
Like I saw flame-grilled cheeseburgers Ruffles at the 7-Eleven down the street one night, and I'm walking home with Kathleen, and I start freaking out about how stupid the flavors are now, and it's driving me insane. And I'm like, how do they know it's flame-grilled? Like, that part especially. Yeah. Like, why add flame grilled?
Yeah.
It's just cheap. And I was like, so I said to her in a ranty way, like, that's like me living in a windowless room, and I write the words clear blue sky on the wall, you know? Yeah. And then I have the bag on my head, and you're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, perfect day for a barbecue. And I said that verbatim to her, and she was laughing like crazy, and now that's like my new joke.
Yeah, yeah. That's the way it has to be.
Yeah, and I just tried it out on you. In my living room.
It works.
But it's not as hacky, right?
No. It's funny because there's a one comic writer, Brian Michael Bendis. Do you know him?
I'm not sure.
He's kind of like, he's been big dog at Marvel Comics for like 10, 15 years. He writes all the big superheroes. Jessica Jones, that's his character from the Netflix show. And he did Powers. And he's a big deal. And I was listening to a podcast. He was like, you know, when people ask me about my ideas and stuff, like... I just tell them like the truth. I have like notebooks everywhere. I have a notebook on my like bicycle. I have a notebook by my bed. I have a notebook in the living room. And whenever I have an idea about Spider-Man, I just write it down in there. I'm just picturing like a house filled with like these little secret notebooks filled with like ideas for Spider-Man. It made me laugh so much that I end up doing, this is before I worked for Marvel. I end up like posting a thing online, which was like Chip Starsky's Marvel Ideas Journal, which I took scans of like a book, which I wrote down just like the stupidest fucking ideas in the world.
Oh, I saw that.
It was like,
in your interview for ZdarCon 2014 or something.
Yeah. The most of them were just super gross.
But it's
just
really funny.
It was just the idea of like somebody having like a notebook about these like childish characters and like coming down with like kind of adult ideas for them.
Yeah.
That's always like the comic book writers who wants to become a comic book writer, like that's their thought process, like it's a Spider-Man, but like, you know, he's got a fetish now, like no he doesn't.
it's almost like laughable, like the DC world is like that now, laughably, you know, trying to recreate what Christopher Nolan was doing with Batman. Yeah. So now, it, like those, oh my God, those Batman Superman movies now, yeah. They're laughably like that, yeah. Like these weird issues. And people dying all the time. But yeah, I like the idea of a guy grasping at straws, going to like into the office, pitching like, yeah, foot fetish, Spider-Man. yeah, throws webs around people's feet and takes pictures of them.
Yeah, like I'm always trying to push things in Howard the Duck, but never quite that far.
Yeah.
And the editors are there to make sure I don't ruin the characters, which is nice. The foot fetish thing just kind of reminds me of the one thing that got cut out of the most recent Howard the Duck was there's like a huge fight. Spider-Man and Aunt May are there, and Aunt May wants to help, and Spider-Man's like, no, you know, I've got to like save Aunt May, as he always does. So he like takes her to an alley and he webs her to the wall. You know, leaves a note on her saying, I'm not a criminal, whatever. He goes through the fight, and then he just like forgets about her. So at the end of the issue, he's just like standing like, oh, we did it, we defeated them. And you just hear whimpering from an alley. They're nibbling my feet. Oh God, my feet. And the editor was like, yeah, we can't do that. Like, it's creepy enough. Like, Spider-Man, like...
Like, you don't see who's nibbling? You don't see the action?
The assumption is either it's a rat or it's a homeless man. Either way...
Something's nibbling at
either, me. Yeah, either way, can't it's move. Not allowed. So I had to... That's the only thing I've had to scrap in the last, like, 5-6 issues.
I'm surprised you didn't quit over that.
I just flipped the table.
That's it. Do you have any... input in the writing with sex criminals? Do you guys brainstorm together?
Yeah, I'm more so with the first few issues because we're trying to figure out how to do it.
I'm very, very, very impressed with the handling of sexuality in those comics. Like, most pop culture anywhere now doesn't deal with it as well as Sex Criminals does.
It didn't start off that way. Like, even when, like, the way comics work is you solicit the comic. Like, you put it into a catalog and retailers order it. And so we wrote the solicitation before we did the comic.
Yeah.
And the solicitation just made it sound like it's just like just a dick joke frenzy. Like, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Like, hey, it's a sex comedy. Fun, dick, fart. Here you go.
Yeah.
And then when we started kind of working on it, we're like, oh, like, we actually like these characters. And like, and Matt started talking to like a lot of like women in his life about how they discovered their sexuality, and we would talk late at night on the phone about these things, and like you hit a point where like you actually care enough about the characters that it's not going to be just a dick joke book.
It's really good. Like, it's incredibly like modern, I think. Every character's backstory is so fair and reasonable, you know, like,
yeah, we're old now. Like, we're both 40, so we're not just going for the joke, you know? Like,
yeah,
I think when I was younger,
substance.
When I was younger, like the stuff I did in my 20s, the comics, you know, it was entirely about the jokes. Like, just throw it out there. But it's like, at some point, you're just like, oh, like, what effect is this having on the world? And like, what do I actually want to say? And how do I want to represent this? And yeah, it gets a little boring in your head sometimes. But yeah, it makes.
Well, even Captara, Keith is already such a fully fleshed out character that like you feel for real, even though it's like such a wacky world. He's insecure, he's nervous, and then the woman's like, yeah, I know, I can feel your ball sweat on my back. You still get the joke, but then Keith is like so real.
You ever written anything long form?
No, I also not really. I've co-written scripts with people, but not on my own.
I feel like that was the difference, like going from like the comics I was doing before to Sex Criminals or Captar or even Howard. Like the fact that you have to think about a character arc, you actually have to think about like Matt told me this. Like, I don't know a lot about screenwriting, storytelling, really. And Matt gave me this one bit of advice, which was every character that appears has to want something.
Yeah.
And I know that's a basic thing, but I never read it. I'm just like, oh, yeah, okay. And it's stuff like that that makes you, like, rethink it. And like, oh, okay, this is more than just a joke book. You know, you have to, characters have to have needs, and then some have to have them satisfied, some don't.
Yeah.
You have to figure it out.
That's almost why I don't complete some scripts sometimes, because I'm overwhelmed by the rules of the world, because I want it to be, you know, you start thinking big, 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 mm-hmm. and then... the fun is almost gone with me. Like, I think that's a part symptom of having a short attention span. That's why I do stand up and sketch so much, because I'm like, I'm just going to hit it.
Well, you know what, like, a good solution for that is, like, I found, because, like, Howard the Duck was the first thing I just, like, sat down to write for somebody else. Like, comics before that were just me kind of making little notes here and there and then cobbling it together and making a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I figure out all the beats, and then I write it all out, and then I go back and I add the jokes, and I go back and I add more jokes, and I go back. Like, it's just, I always thought of myself as a kind of like a first draft guy. Ah, first draft, I'm good, that's it. But like, now that I've been doing it, like going back and like punching things up and like moving things and finessing, like, has made a world of difference in terms of adding humor to a thing.
I'm inspired. I have so many ideas.
Yeah.
And I was talking to our mutual friend Mark today on the phone, and I was like, I have ideas. Okay, bye. So I am inspired. Yeah, I like that. No, one of the script writing books I read years ago, they were like, man, if you have funny scenes first, you're screwed.
Really?
Like, just, well, kind of. They're like, don't try to justify the joke yet. Make the story thick.
Yeah.
And then worry about the little punchy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because, like, if you're sort of almost now writing a script around like a few choice scenes that you almost just want to justify, it's obvious.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely stands out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right, let's start writing. All right. Let's wrap this up and just stop.
This podcast is almost done and we haven't done any. Well, we've done
Utopia,
a lot.
Utopia.
Utopes.
Oh, geez.
But you're living the life you want. Okay, but here's the thing.
Kind of.
Here's the thing. In the utopian world, it can be anything, all right? So it doesn't have to be, you don't have to tweak planet Earth even. You can start from scratch.
Yeah.
Like, you can be a dolphin. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, okay. We'll start with that.
Start with, I'm a dolphin. No.
I just want earbuds that don't have cords. Like, that's all I want.
So earplugs.
That's my utopia. Yeah, earplugs.
I have some of those.
I feel like my utopia would just be, you know, most of the world's problems are kind of has to do with people's differences. So I feel like if everyone was like the same background and
white, blonde hair, blue eyes,
same value system.
I'm just joking.
No, but you're onto something there. Like, you know, we fight so much, but if we were all the same, we wouldn't fight that much. So,
yeah.
I'm not necessarily white, though. I mean, that's kind of my default because I'm white and I want to exist in this world. So, I mean, maybe.
No, I know what you're saying. Pure.
Yeah. That's exactly it. I want a purity. Like, if the world was pure.
I should say to people listening, as a joke, before we started, when Chip came over, the first thing he said was like, has anyone gotten super racist on this? And here we are.
Though, let me say, I think even in our pure world, I don't want any straight people.
No straight people?
No. They're a problem.
You think straight people are the shittiest people in the world?
Well, kind of, yeah. Like, I remember, like, back in my clubbing days. You remember your clubbing days?
I do.
Yeah.
Nothing fit right.
I always prefer to go... Everything fit perfectly for me back then. I don't know why. I preferred to go to gay clubs and straight clubs.
Really?
Yeah, there was less negative tension there. Everyone was there just to have a good time.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't gay, like, I just like, this is a better place for me. Like, I actually enjoyed it more.
Interesting.
So, like, in the utopian world, it would be all gay. And also, you would have to, like, make a conscious decision to make a child. Like, there would be no accidental children.
Right.
Which is good, because then, like, you know, it adds more focus to like, raising a child. Like, we decided to have a child, and this is actually a process, because we actually have to, like, make a man and a woman do this.
Yeah.
It would be more of a
process if they're gay.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, you guys have to make a child, and they're like, okay.
Okay. And then you have to, like, make a deal.
But I won't like it.
No, you won't like it.
But I'll like the child.
But that's the thing. Like, you'll go through those steps in order to have a beautiful, lovely child instead of, like, these, like, accidental children. I mean, there's no such thing as a mistake in God's eyes, but I think there are mistakes that have been made through birthing.
Right. And it's not the child's fault, but if you're a shitty parent,
yeah,
that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, you can...
Like, if you raise it mad, like you made a mistake, that's kind of a shitty thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it doesn't work in every case. Like, some people that, you know, want to have kids and have a kid, that can still turn out really shitty, but I think it cuts down on it a little bit.
Right.
So bisexuals in this world would be frowned upon a little bit, just a little bit.
Because they're just dipping their toe?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe...
What?
Maybe.
Let's just...
That would be the most illicit thing would be bisexual. Because there's no straight people, but there are a few bisexuals in this utopian world, just to keep it interesting.
So far, you only... oh, that's very kind of you. So far... you've only... major point, though, for gays versus straight world... By comparing clubs. So, okay. What else about the straight people? I mean, sure, there's self-righteousness to the max.
Yeah.
There's...
I think they've had their time in the sun.
Yeah.
I think they've been in charge of things a little too long.
Are we straight people or straight white men in business suits?
Think of the worst... Well, there's that, but think of the worst people. Are they straight? Go through your list. Go through your list in your head. Hitler, straight?
Straight. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll let history be the judge. We'll let history be the judge.
I mean, sure, he was madly in love with Eva Braun, as all those punk rock songs proclaim, but that's my history, is just some punks being like, Donald Trump, is he straight? I'm not sure.
Yeah, he wants to, like, sleep with his daughter.
I know he's attracted to his daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
He hugs her by patting her hips. God. yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah, I'm done with them. I'm done with them.
Maybe there's a point to that, because when you're straight, you're constantly trying to pursue the opposite sex, which sort of I'm not a sociologist and I can't even talk. But yeah. The thing is yeah. Like maybe because you have that sort of, it's like a challenge, then it sort of makes it more warlike. Because you're like, I'm trying to conquer this other species. Or like, you know, this other...
Yeah, yeah. It's the weird pursuit. It's
yeah.
That, like, we were all raised with, like, all of our entertainment was like, you know, if you're just persistent enough,
yeah,
then you'll get the girl.
Yeah, it is almost like a conquer thing.
It's a bad imbalance.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, to be fair, like I've known non-straight couples where, you know, there's still kind of that dynamic, but
right.
but like less so.
Yeah. Like I just pictured like a straight guy getting married, and
just picture it. Just picture a straight guy getting married. It's sickening.
For some reason, there's an atom bomb cloud behind them as they kiss.
That's what I'm saying.
What did you do? Okay, so everyone's gay. If you're bi, I don't know about you.
Yeah, that's like the weird, sexy secret of the world. It's like there's underground, like, bisexual clubs.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And then...
Because I think utopia, like, you can't have a utopia without having something that kind of, like... still kind of goes against it a bit to remind you that it's a utopia,
right?
You know,
that comes up a lot, of course.
Yeah,
that you need this sort of contradiction or something to know that you are in a perfect world.
Mm-hmm. I think bisexuality can fill that void for
but everybody utopia. Hugs and laughs and smiles.
Oof.
In your utopia, is there war?
That's a great question. Does everybody hug and
no
and
I'm
laugh
just...
Yeah, hugs feel... Maybe it's just hugs. No laughs. All hugs, no laughs.
Yeah. You can laugh, but it's at an underground club.
Well, laughter sometimes means that you're laughing at someone.
Oh,
like
right.
Laughter, there can be negative connotations to laughter. Hugs.
This is a very actually cool sort of gay 1984.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like a gay dystopia.
Like, that book had a lot of good points. So,
yeah, like the rats chewing your face for laughing in public.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
No, okay, so no one laughs, everyone hugs.
Everyone hugs. We're all gay. sounds
my perfect utopia is just Woody's.
that's it.
Which is like a fun bar in Toronto. That's the one gay bar I went to with my friend Andrew Johnson, and there was a best butt contest.
There is. It's almost every week, I think.
Oh, so you've seen it?
Yeah, I was a part of it.
Were you?
Well, there was like one of the assignments I got from the
National. You showed your butt and everyone was going crazy?
I'm trying to remember how
did they pour
down
a pitcher of water on your white underwear?
No, I was dressed as a woman at the time. The National Post sent me on a assignment, which was there's a place on Wellesley. I forget the name of it, but it's for men who cross dress.
Yeah.
And so it's primarily for guys coming out of town. And they want to get away from, you know, family or whatever, and they want to be themselves, which involves dressing like a woman or being a woman or, depending on where they are in that spectrum.
Yeah.
It's like kind of a mini hotel as well, and they got a little karaoke room so these guys can get together and enjoy themselves and get done up by this woman who runs it.
So do you cross-dress, or were you just embedding yourself for the reporting?
Yeah, for the report. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I liked it. But the problem is, like, because I went and the woman who's doing me up, I was like, you know, let's keep it toned down.
Did you have a beard?
No. Okay. I shaved the beard off. And I said, let's keep it toned down. Like, I don't want, like, you know, kind of sexy office worker. Like, that was kind of what I wanted for. But she, like, made me look like Joan Cusack from Working Girl. Like, I don't think there's any way of, like, kind of avoiding it. There's always going to be big hair and maybe too much makeup because she's trying to overcome all of my masculine features.
Right.
And so a friend was having a birthday party at Woody's, and I just kind of came in without telling anyone I was doing this. And I just kind of like sat down to like next to one of my friends, just kind of put my hand on his leg, and he turned. He's like, "Who the fuck is this lady?" And then realized it was me. And they had
That's amazing.
They had the best butt competition, and I actually don't remember if I was in the competition or if I was judging it.
Oh wow!
Like it's too long ago now. I think I was judging it. And
my friend Rob and I had this guy's butt that we thought was going to win for sure.
Yeah.
And it was just like any other contest. Some other shitty butt won, and we were like, oh, politics.
Yeah, you thought your butt was going to win, but you didn't see. There was just like, it's a little bit of poop coming out.
Yeah.
Does it just disqualify right there?
Yeah.
That's it.
I wonder if when the Joker was in a vat of acid, if he had a little bit of poop in his butt.
So many questions. I haven't done any work for DC Comics, so I don't know if we'll ever find out.
Oh,
the
you will. That's amazing. I can't believe you did that. That's brave of you. I don't think to be honest, I don't know if I could do that. I'd be really insecure and shy and nervous and self-conscious.
It was one of the best nights. Like after that, like I went to a club down the street, Good Handies. I don't know if they're open anymore. And I just partied all night, and it was amazing. Like, it was hard because, like, you have, like, heels and stuff, but, like, yeah, I had a really good time. You know, I did that, like, 6-7 years ago, I guess. I wouldn't do it now. Like, I think the culture has changed too much to just kind of, like, dip my toe in those waters. Like,
right.
You know.
People would think it's, like,
it's
condescending their scene or something.
Well, it's appropriation. Right. Some people, like, you know, it's kind of a struggle that they go through to, you know, transition. And here I am just like, look at me. I'm like a Toronto Sun reporter. I just pop in and I do this thing and I disappear.
Right. I see. Yeah. They would think it's like sort of patronizing or something.
Yeah. And like,
but that's what makes me, well, it's not the same as like these weirdos in the South States that are like, oh, I'm transgendered too. And then they put on a blonde wig and walk in a woman's bathroom and they're like, see, this is what it's like. They're trying to get their point across that it's like, oh, I hate that. Such a dumb argument.
Oh yeah. No, it's horrible.
Yeah. But it's not the same as that.
No, definitely not. And like, whenever I would do a thing like that for the Post, like I'd always make sure that like, I'm the idiot in everything. Like, it always just came back to me not understanding a thing and, like, fumbling through. Like, I never made fun of anyone. I was always just, like, really cognizant of that with the dumb assignments. And, yeah, but still, like, it's so weird to get old and to recognize that I was part of a period of time that would be frowned upon now. But I didn't know it at the time.
Right.
You know?
But, you know, it still sounds genuine, like your interest was genuine. And you know, and like, it's not bad. It's not like you know.
No, and there is a wide spectrum for it too. So it's like, you know, there are guys, and I think they still appeal to like guys who, you know, they do the 9 to 5 with the family every week, and then they're like, oh, I've got to go away on business, and they go to this place.
So their family doesn't know? Like, did you talk to some of these people?
Yeah, yeah. I think the owner...
I should just look up the article, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of it didn't make it in, because I just did a cartoon about it, so, you know, you
oh,
a lot. Okay. But the owner was like, you know, there were some people that, you know, this was who they are, and they do this all the time, and they just go to her for advice and supplies and makeovers. And for some, it was like, yeah, it was a secret from their families, and it usually kind of happened in their 40s or 50s. Like, they would realize it, you know, because they've been kind of like they've kept it down for so long, and now they're kind of like straddling kind of two worlds as a result.
Wow.
Like, maybe if they were younger now, they'd be like, oh, actually I'm transgender and this is how I should live my life. But
yeah,
but being raised in a different generation, I think it was a little bit harder for some of these guys.
Oh, yeah.
I never interviewed any of them because I didn't want to encroach on their safe space, because
right,
a lot of these guys were here. Like, we were doing karaoke together, and all of us, and, you know, we all look like 1980s kind of drag queens. But
see,
like,
I'm too shy and insecure to even just do karaoke in my own clothes. And
here, but you perform in front of people. Like, how is that?
That's really, it's really weird. I know. Like, the most comfortable I am in my life is doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it gets everything else is nerve wracking.
It's so weird because
but like, singing karaoke, yeah, I just can't do it. I've done it when I've been super drunk a few times, and it's like an easy sort of Steely Dan type of song. Nothing too crazy.
just an easy Steely Dan.
I'm thinking of one specific time, but yeah, like, there's two things about karaoke for me. Are one, if you make a joke out of it, it's kind of uncomfortable and embarrassing. Yeah. And if you do it sincerely, it's really uncomfortable
and
embarrassing.
It's too earnest. Yeah. I have a problem with that.
So you gotta find that, like, hey guys, you know, like,
yeah, normally I can't do karaoke, but like in that situation, it was like, it's part of a story. Like, as long as there's a story involved and I have to do something,
that's good.
I'll go out and I'll interview people on the street. I'll climb buildings or whatever. I'll do whatever.
Yeah. Climb buildings? Were you that guy?
I was that guy.
No,
like, I don't know. Like, the Post would always send me on weird assignments, and one was to rappel down City Hall for charity, and so I got a Spider-Man outfit, and people were like, yay, cheering, and like, it's totally fine. Like,
oh my god, I think that's... Were you using the Chip Zdarsky name at that time?
Not for that, because it was National Post. Anything National Post...
I think I remember that.
Yeah, like, but they'd always send me on these, like, weird stunts or, like, to cover
a convention. Did you rappel down City Hall?
Yeah.
How high was that?
It's really high. Like, I don't know.
How did you not freak the fuck out?
I had, like an existential crisis about halfway down. Because there's no, like, it was on the backside.
Well, why would it even be existential? It would just straight up be a crisis at that point.
Well, because what happened was... So I got, like, I don't know, maybe halfway down, and there's no windows on that side. Like, it's just like those concrete strips running vertical.
Yeah, that makes you feel alone.
Yeah, and so there's none of that. And when I look up, I can't make out the people above me looking down. And when I look down, I couldn't really make out the people below me. And there's nothing around me. And so, like, I never felt more lonely than I did in that moment, like, halfway down. It was, like, really, really freaky. And I just kind of, like... I lost it for a little bit, and then I made it all the way down.
I'm so shocked. But I do remember that. I remember that stunt.
Yeah. So the Post would send me on these things, and I would kind of learn to, like infiltrate, like, a convention or something like that, and I'd have to, like, pretend to be someone to get into a place. And
so,
like,
you're fearless.
No, only when, like, the task demands it of me. Otherwise, like, I have stage fright. I can't really do karaoke, like, in front of a lot of people. Like,
interesting.
I kind of freak out.
I just want to say to the people listening that you're totally comfortable on my couch, feet up, curled up on the couch, socks. And this is the guy that just, like, has rappelled down a giant building.
I'm a little coquettish. If I was going to use the word, it would be coquettish.
No, you're like me. You sit on the couch like a kid. I always feel embarrassed about that. But,
No, it looks good on you.
Thanks.
Yeah,
I kind of try to own it.
Yeah. You stacked up just a nice amount of pillow between us two. So it's not super intimate.
Yeah, don't touch me. But what else was I going to say? Oh, geez. Oh, would you skydive then?
I did.
You did?
Well, oh, this is great.
I'm so surprised.
So I did this in the end of high school. We had an assignment which was all about, like...
I think skydiving, I'll just say, sorry to cut you off, but I think that's my ultimate fear. Yeah? That's my ultimate scariest thing, skydiving.
Well, it eases you
into that and war. Yeah.
So skydiving into like a war situation is just the worst.
Well, actually, that's weird. I just got my first gut feeling when I thought of that when you were saying that was, here we go. Like I was going for it.
You're
so,
all in.
Yeah.
You're all in at that point. It's like, all right.
Well, because I got the element of surprise. I'm coming from the sky. I'm shooting them already before I even touch ground. Fuck you, die.
Wow. Yeah. You know what I mean? Wow. You really turned on a dime there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not scared to do anything if I have a machine gun. That'd be so funny. A guy repels down City Hall as Spider-Man with a machine gun.
It's like your safety blanket is a machine gun. I can't go anywhere without this.
Yeah. Kayaking down some rapids, also shooting a machine gun at the trees.
That's pretty good.
So
entering into a committed relationship while having a machine gun.
Oh, yeah. Do you take this girl to be your wife? I do. Just shooting a machine gun while kissing her.
Right into the air.
That's what straight people do, man. They ruin it.
That's true.
Only straight people like machine guns. No, I don't know.
It's a good hypothesis. It was at the end of high school, and I had an assignment about fear, and my fear was of heights. So I was like, my idea was you have to go to the extreme of the fear to conquer it. And so I signed up for these skydiving lessons, and then the day I got the lessons, it was too windy and I couldn't skydive. So I had to do it like 2 weeks later when I'd forgotten all the lessons. So I went back
with
my girlfriend, and you know, I get in the plane, and everyone else in there is an experienced jumper except for me. And so I was the guy who had to jump first because it was like 4,000 feet and they're going to 10,000. And the nice thing about skydiving your first time is there are safety things. Like you either skydive with somebody strapped to you.
Did you go with a guy?
No, I did the cord. There's a cord that connects to the plane.
Ah, yeah.
So as you fall, eventually the cord pulls the chute for you. So
I'm already freaking out. But
it became kind of surreal. So you're in there, and I remember they opened the door, and it's like, all right, you know, first guy, and I kind of go up there, and I'm just kind of looking around, like just kind of like, what's happening?
Yeah.
And I remember, like, you know, you have to step out onto like a little platform under the wings.
So were you wearing boots or sneakers?
My sneakers.
And thanks.
So I stepped out, and you're kind of holding onto underneath the wing. Yeah. And the guy said, jump. And I couldn't hear him, but of course he said jump. So I was like, what? I remember leaning in. He goes, jump. I'm like, I can't hear you. And I went like this. And there's video footage of me, because there's a video just at the back of the plane, of me leaning in to listen, and then tripping, and then falling out of the plane.
Oh, my God.
So it happened so quickly. I remember falling backwards, and then doing a few kind of somersaults, and then the chute opening, and then you're just like a baby in a jolly jumper.
Yeah,
like, that's the feeling, because you're just like being suspended.
Yeah,
and it doesn't make a lot of sense because you can, like, the ground just feels like it's right there, like you're walking on a map. So I'm just kind of like bored. Like, it's a boring thing. Like, there's
not a lot
to happen. So they had like a one-way radio where they were giving me instructions from the ground.
Yeah.
And so the guy was like, you know, jumper one, you know, pull hard left. I'm like, and I wouldn't do it because I'm like, why would I do that? And he's like, jumper one, pull hard left. I'm like, okay. So I like, you know, pull on the chute. So you do a spin, and he's like, now right. And like, he's getting me to do these like crazy maneuvers. I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, I feel like I'm spinning out of control.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get close to the ground, but I'm way off the mark. It's like April and things are like frozen still. And I'm like, I'm heading towards a field and nobody's giving me any instructions. So I'm just like, okay, well, I got to like do this myself. Like, what were the instructions? And the idea was like, if you saw a blade of grass, that's when you pull both sides of your chute and it fills it with air. And then you kind of float gently to the ground.
Yeah.
So I do that, but I weigh like 100 pounds at the time. So it just like meant I was just like hovering. Like, I wasn't going down. I wasn't going up. I was just, like, traveling away, farther away from them.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's no good. So I let go of both sides, which meant all the air disappeared, and I fell, like, 20 feet, and I hit the ground so hard.
Oh.
I scraped myself, and I stand up, And I look over in the distance and I can see my girlfriend just like, oh my God, he's such an idiot. I just kind of give her a wave, forgetting the next part, which is you have to pull your chute in.
Yeah.
So the chute fills with air again and just drags me across frozen mud for like 100 meters.
What the
heck? Boom, 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 in a farmer's field. And I just like totally like ruined the outfit, ruined myself. When I finally got control and I got back up there, the guy who was doing the radioing was like, you know, Jerry, that was pretty rough landing. I'm like, my name's Steve, and like this is my first time jumping. He's like, oh shit, I thought you were Jerry. It was like his like 30th jump.
Oh,
I wouldn't have died to do all that stuff. So there's like a level of professionalism with skydiving.
Yeah.
That's not quite at the level that I would want it to be.
That's insane.
Yeah, that was I guess that was my first kind of like daredevil stunt.
So summary of your skydiving is you did everything wrong.
Yeah.
And you kind of felt like being in the sky was boring.
Yeah, and it wasn't even worth it. It really did. Like, whenever I see a baby in a jolly jumper, I'm just like, that's the feeling right there. Just kind of like, you feel yourself just kind of suspended.
Yeah,
thing.
But
like,
not that. Their babies aren't usually suspended that high.
Usually, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're the dad here. Like, you can tell me, but.
Yeah, I would have a heart attack in the sky, I think. Or I would take my penis out and pee or something.
Something. One or the other. Just start spraying the ground with your machine gun.
Yeah.
That's your style.
Wow, I can't believe it, because that is literally my scariest thing. You did it and you were kind of like, whatever about it.
That's your scariest thing, eh?
I think. I don't know. What else? I'm scared of everything, though. I don't want to... Yeah, a lot of things I don't want
to
do.
The one thing I've always wanted to do, but I actually might be too scared, is when guys, like, jump off cliffs. And they got, like, the kind of...
The base jumping?
The base jumping, yeah. Where they can, like, glide through trees and things.
There's something about that I find even more weirdly comforting, though, because you're, like... You're connected to the planet still, you know? You're not, like, dropping from the clouds.
I guess.
But, yeah, you can still... Definitely destroy yourself.
Yeah, like I think that they both equal instantaneous death.
There's that cool base jumping character that just came into
Sex Criminals. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That must have been fun to draw.
Oh yeah,
that when she discovers what happens to her is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's I like the fact that in Sex Criminals, like Matt is like starting to bring in other different characters. So I'm not drawing the same people over and over again in the different scenarios and settings, because it does get boring. Like, that's the one thing about drawing comics is I've drawn the same characters talking thousands of times.
Yeah. I'm
real tired. Real tired.
How the hell did Schultzy do it?
Schultzy.
Old Schultzy.
So my fake...
Maybe that's why they're so bitter, the kids.
That's got to be it, yeah.
They're like, shut up, Linus.
My
shut the fuck up, Linus.
So my real name
that's
is,
Lucy.
Yeah, of course. You got the voice perfect. So my real name is Steve, and I picked the fake name of Chip because Schultzy, as you called him, his nickname was Sparky.
Right.
Which is like such a child's nickname that I wanted something that like sounded like Sparky.
Yeah.
Like an adult man probably shouldn't be called Chip.
So me swearing like that, imitating a peanuts, does that sacrilegious to you?
Because
you seemed a little uncomfortable. Like, I'm like, shut the fuck up, Linus.
Oh,
and you're
boy.
Like, careful. No.
Yeah. No. No.
But you're a huge peanuts guy?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
they're the best.
I definitely was. I haven't revisited it in a long time, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
didn't pretty... watch the new movie or anything?
No, I did not watch the new movie. I guess you're going to have to do that soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually kind of psyched to introduce my daughter to all of this stuff.
Yeah.
That's the one cool thing for sure. That's the only cool thing.
That's
it. I can show her my books.
You're just waiting. You're just looking at your watch.
Yeah. You got to read this. Like, if she's six, I give her Notes from the Underground.
Yeah. it's that weird thing, because I have a lot of friends who have kids and they're all at different stages, and they all kind of have that idea, like, oh, I'm going to introduce them to these things. And sometimes they take to it, sometimes they don't. Or sometimes they'll get you into a thing that you just are not into and you have to, like, go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Matt, he's got kids and they really want, like, Lord of the Rings read to them. And, you know, he has to do that. And he's like, oh, I hate these little hobbits or whatever.
Oh, really?
Got to do it. I think he likes it a bit more now that his kids like it. But
yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I don't want to... I don't want to be one of those parents that like forces them to like what I like. Like when I see a little baby wearing like a Ramones t-shirt or something, I'm like, leave them alone. You know, like the Ramones were awesome band, but they're really like dumb guys.
Yeah. I think baby's fine. Baby's just like a blank canvas. You can just slap anything on them. They don't know. Yeah. They don't have no idea.
Yeah.
But like if there's a 5-year-old in a Ramones shirt, I'm like, okay, now they actually have preferences and you're right. forcing that on them.
Yeah.
Unless they're just like one day, you know, mommy, daddy, I want a Ramones shirt.
Yeah. And you're like, cool.
All right. I guess that's fine.
Yeah. What about the Grateful Dead?
Yeah, trying to steer them away from Ramones and Grateful Dead.
yeah, just another
solid parenting move.
So yeah, we didn't talk too much about the utopian world, but we did come up with some cool stuff.
I think so. Yeah.
All gay. Everyone hugs.
No laughter.
No laughter. Bisexuals hide underground in clubs.
But they like it a little bit because it's kind of a sexy secret.
No one's afraid of skydiving. I'm just adding that one for myself.
Oh, no, 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 no. You can't have that. Because then everyone would be skydiving all the time.
And what if they're never on the ground?
You'd have people falling from the sky like all the time. Everyone walking on the street would always have to be conscious of people falling on them.
Yeah, like I just pictured grumpy people on the street and someone above them was like, up top. And they're like, shut up.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So I don't know if I have veto power, but I'm vetoing.
No, that's good. Yeah. You're right. I didn't think it through.
Yeah, sorry.
That was thorough. What else did I miss? Anything? We talked about a few things.
Joker's butthole's white.
Joker's butthole's white. There might have been some poo there. thanks for coming on this journey with us, everybody. Yeah. I feel so bad. I don't want to wrap it up with that. Any other random thoughts that you can throw out there?
About utopian
society?
Oh,
yeah, babies are planned.
Babies are planned.
It sounds harsh when I say it that way.
I know, yeah, yeah. All these things sound a little harsh. A little harsh. Maybe, yeah, you know what? Scratch all of this.
Scratch all of it?
Yeah, scratch all of it, except for the hugs.
You just want to live in Hug City.
Yeah, everyone should hug. That's it.
That's nice. Chip Zdarsky's favorite utopian world. Just hugs.
Just hugs.
That's very nice.
And then everyone will get really sick as a result, and we'll all die, and the world will be at peace.
Yeah, just hugs and sneezes.
Just really nuzzle in there. Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Right.
Anything else you want to promote?
Nope.
We did it all at the top.
We did it all,
in the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. I'm bad at ending this.
Yeah.
Say something cool.
All right. Okay, bye. No. Buy my album. I don't have an album. Hit stop.
All right, everyone. That was Chip Zdarsky. Chip, thanks so much for coming over, coming on, and doing the podcast and hanging out. Guys, follow him on @Zdarsky on Twitter. @Zdarsky, just his last name, Zdarsky. And then learn all, like, he's really funny. And, you know, he's learn all about him, what else is coming out soon. He's got a lot of stuff coming up. And follow us at Utopia to Me. And then tell more people about it. We keep catching on. Like I said in the beginning, all this nice stuff is happening. So please pass it around. Check it out. Listen to this, while you're doing all kinds of stuff. While you're shopping for different clothes to put on your body. You know? Like, just put the earbuds in your ears when you're looking at sweaters at the Hudson's Bay Company. That's what I'm talking about. If you're not in Canada, you don't know what the Hudson's Bay Company is. It's a big department store. You know how on the top of Canada there's the Hudson's Bay? Have you ever seen that on a map? Does anyone even look at Canada on a map that's not in Canada? No, I'm living in a small world. I need to get out of here. Hey, send a message to @Utopia to me if you think of a country that I should go visit and learn about. And if you're listening from India and you want me to go to India, I will. I want to go to India so bad. Boy, do I get distracted on this thing, huh? Here's the thing. Follow me, too, @ChrisLockFun, because a lot's coming up. I'm going to tour, do shows around Canada, again, to promote my new album that's coming out October 11th, Demons Are Eating My Head. So if you like my stand-up, which is a little wild and fun and crazy, Demons Are Eating My Head is coming out October 11th on Amazon and iTunes and all that stuff. So you can download it and listen to that as well when you shop for pants at whatever department store you have in your country. So that's it. That was the episode. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for your support. I really appreciate it. Chip Zdarsky, thanks again for coming on. And get out there, guys. You know, if you got a little chilly blast right now because fall is around the corner, then put on a jean jacket. But at least you're looking at all this beautiful sky and trees and everything that we got there blowing in the breeze. All right? So enjoy yourselves. Thank you.